Going again, and
she wants you to announce the Thursday night thing and ask for a show of hands.
Yes, and so I'll just take that as a sign as I'm supposed to start. Hallelujah. It's good to see everybody. I by no means want you to stop drinking or eating. This is a wonderful time. We don't do it often, but when we do, we don't mind enjoying it. So how many got some coffee and some hot chocolate and some goodies? And if you didn't, I don't mean this in a mean way, but it's your own fault because it's out there and you're invited. But thank you for all those that set it up and prepared. Brother Leroy, what did you do to me? You know, I walked in this morning and I saw Santa Claus sitting on under the TV and I thought, well, somebody put that there. And now I know who. Or Santa Claus, a snowman, actually. I think Brother Leroy, when he talks now in class, nobody's paying attention to him, so he decided that he'd go ahead and put something else to be distracting. So where's the off button on that? It'll quit. Will it start up all on its own? All right. Goodness. All righty. A couple things. Carmen, I was supposed to announce something. And Leroy's distraction worked. So those that are part of the Oasis group, and if you are, you don't have to be a certain age. And let me tell you that there's no stigma assigned to be in it in the Oasis group, but there was an email that went out, and if those of you that are able to attend and would like to, this coming Thursday at 5 o'clock, we are going to have dinner and a movie. It's going to be a classic Christmas movie right here in the chapel. If you don't mind sending me an email or text, we're trying to put together how many approximately we're going to have so that we make sure that we have enough food. And everybody's wondering, what are we going to eat? Well, that's going to be a surprise. We're shooting for Fazoli's, and I'll say that, and everybody will show up now. But we're going to have a good time on Thursday night, this coming Thursday night. The bulletin says 4 o'clock. That is not, in fact, the case. If you do come at 4, you will be early, and that's a good thing. So you'll not miss it. But it's actually at 5 o'clock. 5 o'clock. The ladies do a wonderful job with the bulletin, and then they hand it around to every office, and we have to check off. And Dan checked off on it, and it wasn't correct. So it's Dan's fault, okay? Not the lady's fault in the office. It's Dan's fault because I checked off on it, and it wasn't the right time. So there's a reason why there's procedures in place. But anyway, so we've got that done. Let me also announce there's a few folks, some in our class, were involved in something that Nancy Brinkley started years ago. She started, just one moment, save that thought. I got to get this out of my brain first. She started something, just started doing it on her own, and she would make a basket, a Christmas basket for shut-ins. And she did that for many years. It got to the point where it was too much for her, and she had to, reluctantly, she had to leave that. And some folks took that, and they ran with it this year. You were involved in that. There was an offering that was taking place, and that was it did wonders. And there were 30 bags that were made up, or baskets, beautiful baskets, placed in a bag with a quilt and many other items. And we've had, I think, all but 8 have been handed out. That happened this week, and yet all but 8 have been handed out. So one of them I know already has an assigned deliverer, but we need a volunteer or volunteers that would be willing to take one of those seven bags or baskets and deliver them to a shut-in. If you're able to do that, please see Ethel Johnson. Ethel, if you'll raise your hand real high, and Ethel Johnson will steer you in the right direction, let you know. Every bag has an envelope on it, and it has an address. And so we have a few in Johnson City, one or two in Gray, maybe one in Kingsport. So if you're able to deliver those, let me tell you something. I was able to go along with Michael Hubbard, is in charge of a nursing home ministry, and I had the privilege yesterday of driving the van, and we went to four nursing homes, and you should have seen the looks on the faces and the tears in the eyes as we handed those bags out and made, and then we caroled up and down the halls there. And one of them we had to do with a mask on. I don't know if you've ever sang with a mask on, but that's interesting. Exhaling is not a problem. It's the inhale. It's quite a problem. I almost sucked my mask in one time. I was going for a deep breath. But we made their day, and we made their week, and that was so fun, so fun. Next year, you might want to go around doing that. All right, so anything else that I need to sing a song. Yes. Okay, they're going to send me a text or an email. I already asked for that. That's right. Amen. Folks, I'm going to bask in this one time that I've been right. I'm just going to just take a moment and enjoy. It's not often that I get that. Thank God she's put up with me for 32 years. And she's a good woman, so... Hallelujah. All right. Well, we need to sing a song. How about that? Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare Him. And heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing. He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of His righteousness, and wonders of His love, and wonders of His love, and wonders, wonders of His love. And then just before we do something serious, I've got another fun thing that we can do. In the seat in front of you, there's a pocket. For those of you that have one in front of you, if not, I would find one with a pocket. And it might be a good idea to check that pocket. Some of them have goodies in them. Somebody found one behind them. Did you find one behind them? Yes. All right. So, it's Gift Sunday. Merry Christmas. And if you don't have a seat in front of you, find one. I think there's some here. Miss. All righty. Merry Christmas. Good. All right, Brother Mark. Did you check the seat behind you? Did they already check it for you? I'm sorry.
All right, what do we got here? Let's do birthdays and anniversaries. By the way, if There were some stuffed jalapenos back there. I saw some of y'all like blowing your eyebrows off with those. You have me to thank for that. So, but I've had people ask me how do you make those, and so it's really no big deal. So I don't mind telling you. So what I do, and you can jot this down or go back and listen to it on the internet later, or you can come up and ask me if you forget. I take a little bit of this, a little bit of that, stir in a lot of love, and there you go. That's what you get, okay? You know, for anniversaries, we do not have any anniversaries this week listed. Anybody have an anniversary that we need to be made aware of? An anniversary? On the 4th? Happy anniversary. How many years? How many years? You concur. We have an agreement, okay? That's good. Yes. 4. Happy anniversary. Very good. Anyone else? Anyone we missed? All right, birthdays. Angie, on the 13th. Is that right? Happy birthday, Angie. All right, that's it. Any other birthdays? Did we miss any? Any other birthdays? Nobody wants to own birthdays. Anniversaries aren't too bad, but... No? Okay. Hey, do y'all like my tie? I'll get it right here. Do you like my tie? Pretty? My mother-in-law made this for me back in the 90s, so it's one of those things that I have to remember her by. She also made me, this had been 25, 30 years ago, like a hoodie kind of shirt that had a bear on it. She was a seamstress, really, really good. She sewed this bear on it. And, man, this became my favorite shirt, and I loved this shirt. And in fact, I wore it, like, every day. And years ago, it somehow mysteriously disappeared in the wash cycle, and I no longer have it. I don't know how that happened, but it did. Anyway, I still have the tie, at least. I have this, so I wear this to remember my mother-in-law. All right, let's pray, and then we will look at John chapter 9 right quick once again. So I didn't read the prayer list, did I? Sorry. Verna Hilton is sick today. Angie has a date for surgery in Augusta but needs a ride. And Nancy Hall is having Cadillac surgery on the 20th. Some of y'all have had Cadillac surgery before, right? So Nancy Hall's going to join you on the 20th, all right? So let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll move on. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the blessings of the season here. Thank you for the food we had today. Thank you for our class and the time we can be together. We have a couple of surgeries coming up that I just called out, and we pray your blessings on those, and pray for Verna being sick this week, and that you'd be with her. I know several others that I've heard of in our church here that have the flu right now. Flu is going around pretty badly, so we pray for them for good recoveries. And I just thank you for the time we can gather around your word. We can share what's on our hearts with each other. We can open up your word and study it and parse it out and find something that'll help us, and we can gather together and pray. And so thank you for this time. Thank you for this class. And I just pray your blessings on it and as we move forward today. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, before we get into John chapter 9, Mr. Dan and Miss Carmen, would you come up, please? This will be painless. Just right quick. This won't be like one of those jalapenos. This will be pretty painless. Yeah. Hashtag welcome. This is something that our class has collected for Christmas for the two of you. And we just want to say thank you for being involved in this class and making it what it is.
Thank you so much.
Let's give him a hand. See, that was painless. All right. Well, John chapter 9, right quick, verse 5. Jesus is what? Jesus is the light. Last week, we got into an aspect of light, because light doesn't change. It's the only thing in the entire universe, the entire spectrum of our universe, that doesn't change. And as strange as it is the distance between here and that wall, we can measure it a million times and we think it's the same, and it's not. It isn't. The time ticking off, tick tock, tick tock. We think it's the same everywhere in the universe. It turns out it's not. We know that experimentally. Light is the only thing that does not change. And all those other things that I mentioned, those constituent parts of the universe, they change in order to keep light constant. The only thing that doesn't change. And when Jesus said, "I'm the light," a lot of depth there. And so the theological term for that is immutability. I don't know if we said that last week, but immutable means it doesn't change. So God is immutable. Immutability is one of his properties. It means he doesn't change. And there's a whole lot more of that type of thing that we could go into. Today I thought we would just look at something a little more on the spiritual level, because when Jesus said, "I'm the light," we always think of the spiritual side of that. We are in darkness, right? We're spiritually, we're alienated from the Lord. We're in darkness. Jesus is the light. He is the only way to reconcile us to God. And so when he said, "I'm the light," there's a lot of depth there. But I'd like to draw your attention to a little phrase that's a predecessor to "I am the light" there in verse 5. Do you notice that? It says, "as long as I'm in the world." So that begs the question, is Jesus in the world? It's kind of a tricky question, right? Because, oh, we could say, well, he's everywhere. He's everywhere at once. He has ubiquitous locality, we could call that. So is he in the world exactly as he was when he made this statement in John 9? And the answer would be no. No, he's not here in a physical form. So when he said, "as long as I am in the world, I'm the light of the world," did people see light in Jesus as he was walking the shores of Galilee? Yeah, you better believe they did. I mean, they saw the miracles that he did. They heard his incredible teaching. They heard his taking things from the Old Testament, bringing it forward, making it relevant, and saying, this is what this means. That they saw how he reacted to others. Yeah, they saw light. So when he said, "I'm the light of the world saw the light easily. But is he here now? As long as I'm in the world, he's no longer here. That kicks us over to Matthew chapter 5. Could you find Matthew chapter 5 right quick? And then we'll look at something real quick there, and then we'll move on. So as long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. But he's no longer in the world in that sense. No longer here. So now that statement doesn't have exactly the same meaning. But in Matthew 5, verse 14, Jesus again talking. If you have a red letter Bible, you know these words will be in red. Jesus is talking. And now he says, "Ye are the light of the world." Can you imagine him pointing out to the crowd and saying, You are the light of the world. Wait a minute. I thought he was the light of the world in John 9. Now he's saying, "Ye are the light of the world." And to get some context to that, what's going on, if we look back at verse 13, he says, "Ye are the salt of the earth." Then in verse 14, he says, "Ye are the light of the world." So he's called us to be two things. What are they from those verses? Two things. What are we supposed to be? Salt and light. And to get some context of light, what's he talking about? I mean, we're in darkness. We have no light. Jesus is the only light. Verse 15, to get some context on this idea of light. "Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all them that are in the house." And then verse 16, this one really pulls it together. "Let your light so shine before men." Now, do we have any light? No. Jesus is the light. John 9 tells us that. However, if we have Jesus in us, if we've been saved, if he is our Savior, his light is supposed to shine through us. So when he says, "Ye are the light of the world," we have no light within ourselves. You've gone out at night or like real early in the morning and seen the moon, right? A full moon. Isn't that one of the most beautiful things you've ever seen? I have a very dear friend that I meet for coffee at 6 o'clock on Monday mornings. And as I'm walking out of the house at you know, before 6. Sometimes I look up and that full moon is out there, and it's nice and quiet. You know, nobody's out. What a sight that is. And I always think of Psalm 19, and I stand there and quote Psalm 19 just looking up at that moon. As beautiful as the moon has no light. We all know that. Right? It's no surprise to us. Where does the moon get its light? From the sun. We have no light either. Where do we get our light? The sun. And that's why it says, let your light shine before men, verse 16, that they may see your good works. Are we doing good works in front of others? Are we? What about when something bad happens to us? What about when things go wrong? What about when we're done wrong? Are we still doing good works in front of others? And what's the whole point of all this? Last part of verse 16, that they may glorify your Father which is in heaven. Witnessing to other people. A lot of different ways to do that. Sometimes you hear the word witnessing, you think confrontational evangelism. That is one thing you can do. That's certainly not the only way. There's lots of ways we can witness to other people. And we should be letting the gospel light shine through us, according to verses 13 through 16. The gospel light, the light of the world, which is Jesus, should be shining through us to others. Lost people need to see Him through us, just like the moon, the light of the sun shines through us. So, as we have opportunity to give witness to other people, we should be doing that. We should be actively involved in doing that, in witnessing. We should be living a life of good works, as it says in verse 16. So that others may see good works in us and realize, hey, there's something different there. I wonder what it is. Well, it should be that light, His light from John 9:5, shining through us and going out to others. Jesus is not here anymore. Remember, as long as I'm in the world, He's not here anymore. But who does He have? We are His representatives now. So our question is for us to consider, are we letting His light shine through us that others may see it and give glory to God, as it says at the end of verse 16? So that's our thought for the day from John 9:5. Mr. Dan, you're on.
Thank you so much. And I love that. I love that so much. The neat thing that we're going to see here in just a few moments, we finished our study in about the Holy Spirit, and yet it was so neat. This week, somebody had asked me a question about, of all things, the transfiguration of Christ. And so, because I'm so smart and can retain so much, I had to go study it. And I had studied it before, but I cannot keep all the details. So I went back and I took a couple guys that I'm discipling that want to eventually serve in ministry. And we got to looking at it. And even in that event, it was so amazing how that, and just to break it all down in a nutshell, prophets of old had testified or prophesied of things to come. And many times those prophecies were afar off. Like you take Isaiah, he prophesied of the birth of Christ. But then what God would do many times is He would allow that prophet to prophesy something that was going to take place in the not so distant future. And what that did is it added credibility to the man of God, to the prophet. And so they said, okay, well, if he prophesied this and it came to pass, it's just not something that we have to look forward to years and years and years in the future. So many times God would allow them that where they'd prophesy something had come to pass and it add credibility. Christ did the same thing. So with the transfiguration, He told them of things that was going to happen, but then he shows up, and He takes the three, they get together, and then he brings in, and to a Jew, that's a big deal. He brings in the greats of times past, and he literally reveals. And when you study that portion of Scripture about the transfiguration, it talks about the glory of God shining. And that glory of God, literally, when you read the context, it came from within. It wasn't something shining from above. It literally came from within, and his countenance lit up. And then after his countenance lit up, we're talking about Christ, then his vestures, his robes also started shining as well. And that came from within, meaning even Christ himself was indwelled with the Holy Spirit, that third part of the Trinity. And I about lost it right there when we're studying this and I'm explaining this. And if it weren't for the fact that I was on a Zoom call, and in Zoom you have the background on purpose because you don't want them to see where you're at. I Zoom in my bedroom, and I have it, you know, I'm in the corner, you know, and I have that false front, and it looks like, you know, I'm in this beautiful place. And were it not for that, if I'd have got up and took off running, they might have seen that I had my pajama bottoms on, right? And I always make sure I have a right shirt on, but then had my pajama bottoms on, and had I done that little lap, then they would I would have revealed more than I wanted to. Hallelujah. But isn't it beautiful, and it's awesome how involved the Holy Spirit is? All right, listen, we only have a few minutes. I want to present, by the way, thank you so much. I was overwhelmed when I first got here, and there was a great individual that had been with you for 38 years, Brother Gary Seaman, and this was his class, this was his baby. And I was handed that. And you say, well, isn't that a wonderful thing? Yeah, it's a great thing. But I'm following 38 years of relationship and 38 years of teaching, and it scared me spitless when I took that. Because not only that, but then the music program that he had done such a great job with. And to be honest with you, many times I told the Lord, I don't know if I could do this. And I know that Carmen was thinking that. She didn't necessarily share it, but she thought, dear me, what have we got ourselves into? And you all have been very gracious in allowing me to present the Word of God in this class, and I'm very grateful for that opportunity. I do not take it lightly, and I want to thank you for the privilege that I have to taking and opening God's Word, and together we're on this journey of being more like Christ. And it's been a wonderful, wonderful journey so far. And I appreciate that privilege. Thank you so much. We're looking at Romans, the book of Romans. We're going to delve into Romans. How long is that going to take? I have no idea. But we're going to look at it verse by verse. Romans, I'll just go ahead and let you know, this is going to be an uncomfortable journey for us, okay? Because the book of Romans exposes a lot about us. And when I say us, I'm talking about somebody that has been saved for quite some time, saved for many years. And Brother Mark was speaking about us being the light now. Many times in a believer's life, our effectiveness as a witness or as a light is often hindered by how we view ourselves in light of God. And I'm hoping I'm making sense in how I say this. Because of this, if you have a poor, and when I say a poor view, you say, Brother Dan, we're nothing. You're right. But in Christ, we're everything. We have literally the Spirit of God that dwells permanently within us. We are now, and I love that. He is not here anymore, but He left His light in the world. And that light is you and I. And many times that light doesn't shine bright because of a distorted view of how God sees you and I and what our standing is in Christ. And so I believe Romans is going to help us with that. I really do. We're going to have to look at it properly. We're going to have to look at who Paul is writing to in Romans chapter 1 when he says this. Let me get there real quick in Romans chapter 1 and verse 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. And we know that this Paul that God is that is speaking here, this writing, this letter, this is a guy who would never be able to hold a position here in these great United States in any Baptist church because he killed Christians. And we don't allow those people to be our leaders. We don't allow that. Now, we may give them a different position in the church. They might be able to greet. They might be able to be part of the bus ministry. They could drive a bus or different things like that. But they would never, and I'm being very sarcastic here, and my sarcasm is quickly evolving into seriousness. We would never let this happen. We would never let this happen. So we have to view this in light of reality. Paul, a servant of Christ, of Jesus Christ, he killed Christians for a living. He had letters. He had documents that gave him the authority to pull that off, to torture, to persecute, and to kill believers. And this is who's writing this letter. And having heard, and it's very, very interesting, Romans is written because having heard of a growing body of believers. Now this is before Paul. There was a growing body of believers with no apostolic leadership in the capital of the Roman Empire. Paul had a desire to visit this influential city to instruct this new church in the foundational truths of the Christian faith. Now, can you imagine having that as your heart's desire with the background that he had? What missionary would we take on for support whose previous life was persecuting and killing Christians, and then he comes in and he presents his work. God has called me to a very influential city because I hear that there's a group of believers there that I would love to instruct in the foundational truths of the Christian faith. We find that unable to visit them as he planned, he then sends in his stead an epistle for the purpose of grounding them in the faith until he can make an actual visit to Rome. So this was his Zoom call to these folks. He couldn't go himself, but then he writes a letter. And in this letter, we find the most complete and systematic presentation of God's plan of salvation for sinners. We also find a complete and systematic plan of God for sanctification for the believer. And then also we see the sovereignty over Israel. You'll see some of the most complete and systematic explanation of the sovereignty over Israel in all of Scripture that is here. So it is a very key book in the life of a believer. The theme of the entire book is the righteousness of God. The righteousness of God. And I believe that as we walk through the book of Romans, you and I both are going to enjoy switching our focus from our righteousness, I believe we have an unhealthy view of our own righteousness. And with God's help and the Holy Spirit's direction, hopefully that focus will shift from our righteousness, and we begin to focus more on what I believe God's purpose is, and that is we focus on the righteousness of God in us. And that is just a brief introduction of what we're going to see as we get into the book of Romans. Our time is spent. We're going to pray. And by all means, on the way out, if you need another sip, I don't know that they would be too happy if we carried the party into the auditorium, but you're welcome to finish up here, and then we'll meet together in just a few moments and enjoy a wonderful service. Lord, thank you so much for everything that has been done this morning. Such a short amount of time, and yet, Lord, our hearts are full. We have heard from you. We have read your word. Lord, you've instructed us. Please help us to use that for your honor and for your glory. Lord, thank you for our fellow believers in Christ. And thank you for the privilege that we have to fellowship and to get to know one another better. And Lord, thank you for what we've enjoyed this morning. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All righty. God bless you. We'll see you in just a few moments.